Nos vamos a la Universidad de Tulane. Esta es una de las universidades más prestigiosas del estado de Louisiana. Nos atiende el copresidente del Departamento de Litigios Civiles del bufete de abogados Dutch Kerrion. 14 personas murieron y decenas resultaron heridas por cuenta de un vehículo con un terrorista al volante que ocasionó esta tragedia. ¿Estamos ante, evidentemente, un hecho de terrorismo? Natasha, esa es la primera pregunta.
Thank you very much for joining us on W Radio today. Our first question for you is, are we facing a terrorist attack? Is this how you would describe it?
Yes, of course. I think this case, this attack of New Year's Day, January 1st, 2025, is a terrorist attack. I think the FBI has declared it so. So I think we can very safely assume, based on all the evidence that we have to date, that this was in fact a terror attack.
Bueno, pues nos dice que sí, que él cree que es un caso terrorista, que cree que, pues dice que el FBI ya lo ha declarado como un caso terrorista y que basado en todas las pruebas que se tienen hasta el momento, es un caso terrorista.
Pregúntele, Natasha, por favor, al abogado, si no era muy obvio que el French Quarter, que el barrio francés, que el Super Bowl o que el evento universitario es un objetivo terrorista. Siendo así, ¿había las suficientes medidas de prevención?
So, based on that answer, if we are talking about a terrorist attack in the French Quarter, were there sufficient measures to prevent this, or were there not enough measures in place?
Well, I don't think it's fair for any one person to critique whether or not there were sufficient measures to prevent the attack. I think we have seen in the last couple of days that there were certain barriers known as archer barriers that were not in place on the sidewalks. And the newspaper reporting this morning and I believe last night indicates that there was a question as to whether anyone knew they were available. But I don't think it is in anyone's interests to pick at what was available or not, notwithstanding the fact that the attack, it did feed on that vulnerability. But in any event, we did have the Sugar Bowl last night, major college football event between Georgia and the University of Notre Dame. And that game was supposed to have been played on New Year's evening. It was postponed until yesterday in the late afternoon. And the game went off without a hitch, as far as I'm aware. I was there, which is why my voice may be a little bit hoarse this morning. The city of New Orleans has hosted the Super Bowl many times in the past, and these events are sort of baked into the DNA of the city's security posture and the postures of the state and federal partners who provide security for these types of events. So I think it's important to draw the distinction between a terror attack that feeds on the vulnerability of Bourbon Street versus an event that is hosted in a much different location, such as the Superdome.
Bueno, nos dice que él cree que no es justo preguntarse que si habían las medidas suficientes para prevenir el ataque, que sí es cierto que muchos medios de comunicación mencionan y dicen que estas barreras de seguridad no estaban en ese momento y que pues es toda esta controversia con las barreras, que si estaban, que si no estaban. Dice que realmente este ataque terrorista fue aumentó y dio justo en el punto de vulnerabilidad de esta calle y de esta noche, pero él dice que entre todo también sí pudieron tener el evento del Sugar Bowl, que había sido aplazado, que tenía que haber tomado lugar el día el 2 de enero, el 1 de enero, sin embargo tomó lugar ayer. Él dice que no pasó nada en el juego hasta donde él lo tiene presente. Él estuvo presente en el juego y dice que por eso de pronto su voz suena un poco diferente y un poco afectada, pero dice que pues que la ciudad en general ha podido atender este Super Bowl y estos eventos grandes en la ciudad y que hasta el momento nunca habían tenido uno de estos sucesos, y dice que hay que poder hacer esa distinción entre el ataque terrorista que hubo el otro día y haberle dado en ese punto vulnerable que tenía Bourbon Street.
Natacha, él es abogado. ¿No ve él una responsabilidad para la ciudad por haber hecho esta renovación de las barras de seguridad en esta fecha, en una fecha de tanto movimiento como son las festividades de diciembre?
As an attorney yourself, do you not see any responsibility in the renovations that were made on those dates?
So, just to be very clear, when I'm speaking in this interview, I am speaking personally. I am an adjunct lecturer in counterterrorism at Tulane University in the Department of Emergency and Security Studies. I'm an attorney in the state of Louisiana, and I practice in the city of New Orleans, but my statements are my own, and I just want to be clear there that I'm not speaking on behalf of my law firm or anything like that. Responsibility is something that, I don't know how to answer that question about responsibility. I think that the city, the state, and the federal government all have a part in the security posture mm-hmm. of the French Quarter. Again, in the previous question, we talked about, or I mentioned, the lack of these archer barriers, which are anti-vehicle barriers that are deployed on sidewalks and streets. And apparently, according mm-hmm. to at least the reporting this morning, they were not, and they certainly were not deployed on the night of the attack or the morning of the attack. But there is reporting this morning that there's a question as to whether anybody knew about them. And I'm sure in the days and weeks to come, there will be hearings, there will be inquiries into this, and I would expect that lessons will be learned, as they have been with every attack. You can just look at travel in the United States, everything that you see at the airport, from TSA's posture to the technologies that are deployed. Everything that you see is in response to the attacks of 9/11 and subsequent efforts by terror groups. So I think security is something that is always evolving, and all of the partners are learning, not as they go, but it's a deliberate reaction to this sort of cat and mouse game that government plays with the terrorists and vice versa.
Bueno, acá nos dice que, pues, que claro que, pues, primero que nada, que él está respondiendo esta pregunta como personalmente, él como persona, y él no como profesor. Él es profesor en la Universidad de Tulane y nos quiere dejar claro que él no está hablando en nombre de nadie. Y cuando dice sobre la responsabilidad, dice que realmente no sabe cómo se pregunta, no sabe cómo respondernos sobre la responsabilidad. Dice que claro que todos tienen parte de esta responsabilidad, que el gobierno tiene parte de esta responsabilidad, que las fuerzas del orden tienen parte de esta responsabilidad, que menciona las barreras, pero realmente dice que, de acuerdo con los reportajes, que las barreras no estaban ahí, que no se sabe si las barreras, si las personas sabían que estas barreras deberían estar ahí. Y dice realmente que lo que está pasando es que van a haber muchas lecciones por aprender, que así como se aprende de todos los ataques y como se ha aprendido de todos los ataques, como podemos ver, por ejemplo, hoy en día en los aeropuertos, tras el ataque del 9-11, ese es pues como un ejemplo que él nos da, que van a haber muchas lecciones tras este ataque.
Hay quienes no creen en las coincidencias, Natacha, y creen que es muy difícil desconectar este ataque del de Las Vegas. ¿Qué opinión tiene él?
And with regards to the attacks in Las Vegas at the hotel, there are people that don't believe in coincidences and perhaps that those two attacks are connected in some way. What can you tell us about that? What are your thoughts?
Well, that's an interesting question. First, I don't know that there is any connection based on the reporting that we have seen between the two attacks. The fact that both perpetrators were, one was an Army veteran, one was an active duty service member, as I understand, that's the Las Vegas bombing. And that event may have, in fact, been a suicide. Now, he did load lots and lots of fireworks and other, I believe there was some shrapnel in the Cybertruck. But I haven't seen anything in the open source reporting that connects the two events. When it comes to coincidences, I'm a firm believer that events can happen simultaneously and not be in any way related. And if you look at the types of attacks, you know, and I don't know that Las Vegas was in fact an attack at this point. Again, he could have committed suicide. You know, this the Las Vegas fella, you know, he was as I understand it, a special forces soldier. And certainly would have had the knowledge and training to cause quite a bit more death and destruction had he chosen to. So I don't know that the events are related, and nothing has been definitively suggested that they are. I think that January 1st is a very significant date in many people's minds. I think, you know, there is lots of symbolism attached to the date. And the fact that the Las Vegas incident involved a Cybertruck and took place at the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas may speak to motivations that are completely different and completely unrelated to what appears to be a very clear case of terrorism in the Bourbon Street attack.
Bueno, nos dice que es una pregunta muy interesante y dice que no sabe si realmente hay una conexión basada en todo el reportaje que hemos visto en los últimos días. Menciona que uno de los atacantes era un veterano del ejército, el otro era un miembro de las fuerzas especiales, y para él dice que no hay nada que los pueda conectar. Él cree que pueden suceder eventos de forma simultánea y no tener nada en común, que si vemos los dos ataques, el de Las Vegas también, él dice que podría tratarse incluso de un suicidio. Dice que este personaje pues era un miembro de las fuerzas especiales y que él tendría bastante conocimiento. Y dice también que pues el 1 de enero es un día muy significativo con mucho simbolismo, y sí, él vuelve a reiterar que este ataque de Las Vegas podría ser un suicidio y que no se puede comparar con este acto terrorista.
A propósito del ataque terrorista en Nueva Orleans, toda la información que se conoce indicaría que se trata de un caso de autorradicalización. De lo que llamamos un lobo solitario, no necesariamente conectado con la estructura general terrorista. ¿Qué tan extendido es este y peligroso este fenómeno de la autorradicalización?
And going back and focusing on those attacks in New Orleans, there's a lot of information suggesting that this has been a case of self-radicalization. What can you tell us about that, and how dangerous would that idea be if that were the case?
Well, self-radicalization is a phenomenon in terrorism that has been documented going back decades. I think you need only look back to the attack on the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, which occurred in the 1990s, for a very clear episode of self-radicalization. Timothy McVeigh, the perpetrator there, he used available publications and watched episodes of, the Ruby Ridge incident and the attack on Waco, or the government intervention in Waco, and that really moved him from whatever point he was at in his life to taking these horrible steps of bombing the Murrah Building. The internet and the availability of information has made this process manifestly easier, so that this idea of the self-radicalized terrorist, this is something that government has to deal with and has been dealing with for decades. No longer do you have to travel somewhere or receive something physical in the mail. All of these ideas are out there on social media, across the internet, and it is a very easy process for a person who is, again, a person who is inclined and influenced in that way for many, many, sociological factors. It's a very difficult challenge to government and to law enforcement.
So, Mr. Walsh, thank you very much for your time. We are very sorry about this situation. And by the way, Happy New Year.
And also to you. Thank you very much.
Bueno, Esther, resumen ejecutivo de lo que dijo nuestro presidente del bufete de la Universidad de Tulane y experto en el tema de terrorismo. ¿Qué dijo?
Bueno, nos dice que hoy en día esto de la autorradicalización es un fenómeno, bueno, es un fenómeno que lleva décadas, pero que hoy en día lo vemos mucho más fácil gracias al Internet. El Internet ha hecho todos estos procesos más fáciles y que el gobierno tiene que empezar a lidiar con estos temas, que hoy en día ya no es que una persona viaja a un lugar y le dan algo y así se puede llegar a volver un poco más extremo, sino que hoy en día ya todo se puede encontrar en el Internet, es muy fácil de encontrarlo, y sobre todo para estas personas que de pronto se sienten un poco más aisladas o que tienen, bueno, estas preguntas, es muy fácil encontrar toda esa información. Él nos da un caso en específico, el Murrah Federal Building en 1990, sobre la autorradicalización, pero en general eso es lo que él nos dice, que hoy en día esto es algo que el gobierno debería empezar a ponerle más atención.